Hey there, guys and gals, all you Hepcats, cool kittens, my friends and foes. Welcome to another episode of the Tales from the Flipside podcast. I am your host, the artist sometimes known as Big Daddy Cool. I am the Diesel Punk Impossibilist, John Pica. You can call me Johnny, and I am coming to you live from the Houdini Room at the Casa de Cool in fabulous Viva Nash Vegas. And tonight, I thought I would answer some questions from fans and listeners, particularly about movies and some pop culture references, and in particular, Marvel movies. A lot of questions still floating around about Avengers Infinity War and the future of the Marvel Universe. So I gathered some questions that some folks have asked me in the last couple of days, and I thought I'd just take a few moments to answer them. Did Shuri, T'Challa's sister, the Black Panther, help Tony Stark create the new nanosuit armor showed in Infinity War? And the short answer is no. Prior to Infinity War, Shuri and Tony Stark had never met, and actually, as of Infinity War, they still have not met. If you'll remember, Tony was still off in space at the end of Infinity War, while Shuri was in Wakanda. So they have never met in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the answer is no. Tony's nanotechnology suit is his own invention. All right, let's see. Next. Why was Marvel's most popular superhero killed off in Avengers Infinity War, and is there a chance of him coming back? Well, that depends on who you consider the most popular character at Marvel. If you're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man, or whether you're talking about Black Panther. From a historical standpoint, it would be Spider-Man. He is the most recognized Marvel character throughout history, although Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor now boast as top-tier characters, along with the Hulk. But if you look at box office numbers, the Black Panther is not only Marvel's most popular hero, but the most popular solo superhero ever. His movie made more at the box office than any other solo superhero film. Huge blockbuster. So, we're either talking about Spider-Man or we're talking about Black Panther. And spoiler alert, both of them die at the end of Infinity War. Seeing as how there are sequels planned, there is a new Spider-Man film coming out next year with Tom Holland and Michael Keaton and Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I can't wait. Either it will take place before Infinity War, or since it comes out after Avengers 4, shocker, Peter Parker is restored to life. That is my belief, even though the Russo brothers say anyone who died, died permanently and they are permanently gone. I don't buy that for a second. Also, Black Panther, we have a sequel coming out for that. Although I would really love to see Shuri become the Black Panther like she does in the comics, I would dare say the chances of Black Panther being gone permanently are slim to none. And on top of that, spoiler alert, Dave Bautista did spoil part of the plot for Avengers 4 by confirming that his character, Drax, who also vanished in a cloud of ash at the end of Infinity War, is returning as well. So he's already filmed sequences and filmed scenes as Drax. So if Drax comes back, Spider-Man and Black Panther and Doctor Strange and everyone else who vanished probably return. Let's see. What rank is Tony Stark amongst Marvel's smartest characters? Well, that all depends, doesn't it? Me personally, I happen to think that Hank Pym is indeed the Scientist Supreme, as Infinity made him in the Mighty Avengers comic book a few years back. Hank Pym is on equal footing with Tony Stark and Reed Richards and Bruce Banner. However, Hank Pym takes science a step further to the point that it becomes magic. And that makes him the Scientist Supreme. In terms of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe, the seven smartest people, according to the Marvel Comics handbook, are Reed Richards, Tony Stark, Hank Pym, Hank McCoy, Amadeus Cho, and Bruce Banner. So, and now we have to add to that Riri Williams and Moon Girl. What is Moon Girl's name? I forget. And, of course, Shuri. So, three of the smartest people in the MCU are young black women. That's pretty cool. And so that's pretty cool. Those are the smartest people. Where does Tony Stark fall on that rank? I would say he's maybe third. Maybe third. Let's see. What else have fans asked? Is there anyone else in the Marvel Universe powerful enough to handle the Infinity Gauntlet? And the short answer to that is yes. In the Marvel Comics, the Silver Surfer has wielded the Infinity Gauntlet, Adam Warlock has wielded the Infinity Gauntlet, and Thanos' daughter Nebula has wielded the Infinity Gauntlet. And I'm sure, let's see, I believe Reed Richards did at one point. And I would dare say that, you know, Thor would be easily powerful enough. Bruce Banner as the Hulk would be powerful enough. And in armored form, I would, you know, give Tony Stark the nod. We didn't see him wield the Infinity Gauntlet, but we've seen him stand against the Infinity Gauntlet, and that is Captain America. In the original Infinity Gauntlet Marvel Comics limited series, Captain America was the last hero standing against Thanos. So given the strength of his character and his resolve and his physical superiority, I would say that probably, yes, Steve Rogers could wield the Infinity Gauntlet. Now, what's interesting about two of those characters, the Silver Surfer and Adam Warlock, Silver Surfer has been part of the Fantastic Four family over at Fox. And now that Disney has reacquired the rights, because they bought Fox, they own Fox now, so the rights to the Fantastic Four and all of those characters are back in-house, that means that we could potentially see the Silver Surfer in Avengers 4. And since Adam Warlock was introduced at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in the end credit scene, there's a potential that we could see him make an appearance as well. Although the Russo brothers and initially James Gunn said that he would be saved for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or later. Of course, we know now that James Gunn was released by Disney, fired by Disney, and the odds of a Guardians of the Galaxy 3 happening anytime soon are slim to none. So, what does that mean? I think in Avengers 4, we are going to see Nebula use the Infinity Gauntlet. How she reactivates it, how it works, you know, I don't know. I know that there is time travel in Avengers 4. And in the Marvel Universe, if you don't use the Time Stone, which I'm pretty sure Doctor Strange put a spell or a curse on the Time Stone that will cause a time loop. But if that doesn't happen, there's only two other ways in the Marvel Universe that you travel through time. Either with Reed Richards' time machine from the Fantastic Four, or Dr. Doom's time machine, which is also part of Kang's arsenal. Kang the Conqueror is the time-traveling enemy of the Avengers. Previously, Kang was tied up in the Fantastic Four franchise, but now that he's back, because the Fantastic Four are owned by Marvel and Disney again, we could potentially see Kang the Conqueror. If not in the story itself, maybe in a post-credit scene. So those are the guys powerful enough to wield the Infinity Gauntlet. Let's see, what else have people asked? Just scrolling through some of these questions here. What was the biggest problem with Infinity War? My biggest problem is that it could have been ended in a heartbeat. You know, in the scene with at the very beginning with the Black Order fighting Wong and Strange and Tony in New York, you remember I can never remember the character's name, the big guy with the stylized axe. Wong transports him to the Arctic. He tries to come back through the portal, and Wong closes it and cuts off his hand. All Strange had to do was the exact same thing with Thanos. And why that didn't happen, I don't know. I personally think that Infinity War ends quickly a couple of times. I think the Hulk was taken out way too easily by Thanos. I think, you know, Sakaar Hulk would have given a Thanos a pretty sound beating, and that with Thor, Loki, and the rest of the Asgardians on board, they would have defeated him pretty quickly, in my opinion. Doctor Strange takes Thanos out in a heartbeat, and even if he lives past Doctor Strange, Stormbreaker Thor, who has now been elevated to Superman level power levels, I think he takes out Thanos. And why didn't Thor just chop off his arm? You know, I really loved Infinity War, but those three things really bugged me. And, you know, maybe we'll get an explanation why those didn't happen. But I'm pretty sure that Stephen Strange put a curse on the Time Stone or created a time loop, just like he did when he faced off against Dormammu. And he will, it will be the impetus, if you will, to defeating Thanos and reversing the effects of the Infinity Gauntlet. Let's see. I'm reading through a couple of others' questions here. Some of these, sometimes you people ask me really weird questions. We'll just say it that way. But here was a good one. Where was it? If Odin were alive during Avengers Infinity War, would he have posed a threat to Thanos? And the answer to that is yes. He is the All-Father. As a matter of fact, I believe Odin could have taken out Thanos instantly. I think Hela could have taken out Thanos. And that's exactly why Thanos waits until he does to go after the stones. He had to wait till Odin, Hela, Ego, and several other characters were out of the way to, you know, to not face their opposition. Hela could have defeated him. Ego definitely could have defeated him. So you know, his timing was timing of convenience. So, yes, Odin would have posed a threat. Who lifted Thor's hammer? Not by worthiness, but by brute force? And the answer to that is no one. Let me see. There was one other. Why aren't there any fat superheroes? Well, that's both a good question and a dumb question. You know, there are. In the MCU, Wong is not fit and trim. He's got a little extra. In the DC universe, Bouncing Boy is rotund. And in the Valiant universe, the heroine known as Faith, she flies. You know, she's one of the Harbingers. She can fly. She has super strength. She is a hefty girl. Also in the Marvel Universe, one of the Great Lakes Avengers, Big Bertha, is a 500-pound woman. So there are. There are. And the idea that they want it sell is kind of ridiculous because Faith has become a fan favorite at Valiant and, you know, has really become a role model for body positivity. And, you know, I think it's okay to show heroes of all body types. But I will say this, as someone who competed competitively as a kickboxer, you know, I boxed, I did Taekwondo, wrestled. You know, even the heavyweights are in peak physical condition. You know, when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, man, I was in prime physical condition. And I might have had a little bit extra on me, but, you know, my stamina, my strength, it was all at its peak. And typically when we see people in, you know, peak physical condition, they're 5% or less body fat. And, you know, we're talking about superheroes who are at the peak of physical condition. You know, Batman, Captain America are the peak of human perfection. You know, Tony Stark, a wealthy billionaire playboy. If you know wealthy people are not fat. Wealthy people tend to be fit, trim. They eat well. They eat clean. They're very concerned about appearances, so they work out. You know, Doctor Strange, he's a narcissist. He would be the same way. Black Panther, even without the powers of the Panther, without the suit, you know, T'Challa is still, again, the peak of human perfection. You know, don't take that as a slight. It's just kind of the natural order of things. You just don't see overweight people running and jumping and leaping over tall buildings. It's just not normal. So there you go. That's why there are few fat superheroes. So I think that's it. Out of the mailbag, out of the question bag, that will probably do it. If you have a question about comics or movies or pop culture in general, go ahead and send me a note. Send me an email at johnpyka@johnpyka.com, johnpyka, and I will answer it on air if it's a good question. And these were good questions, so thank you to everyone who submitted those. And yeah, so that's it. I hope you guys like this quick, fast episode. If you did, make sure you tell someone, post a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play. Tell 200 or 300 of your closest friends and family to listen. And visit our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box. MagicSubscriptionBox.com. They deliver a magic shop to your mailbox every month for about $30, but you can use my promo code BDCMagic and take 50% off your first month. While you're traipsing around the internet posting reviews, post a review of my book, Tales from the Flip Side, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you haven't read it yet, shame on you. You can buy it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and then do a review. That would be epic. I would really appreciate that. You can also get it on Audible, iTunes, Nook, all of the platforms have Tales from the Flip Side. Also, if you like the show, if you like the programming that I produce, drop us a tip in the digital tip jar at patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. $1 or $2 a month, that's all we ask. It's a tip, but it helps us produce more great content like this. And, well, that is if you think this is great content. If you don't, just keep it to yourself.
Hey, I heard that.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Hope you guys like the show. And if you like me doing these question and answers more, we'll do more of them. If not, let me know that too. All right. I don't have anything else to add. Nope, I don't. That's it. So until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.